This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. O Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer, God beyond us, God with us, God ever among us. You are one God in three persons, ever entwined in a dance of grace. Get us up off our feet today, that we may join your dance and give you glory in word and in deed. Amen. Please be seated. Morning. This feast day that we celebrate today dates back for centuries and centuries, and it is known as Trinity Sunday, a day when we celebrate God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You could read the Bible from Genesis 1 all the way to the end of the last chapter of Revelation, and you will never see in the Bible the word Trinity. It's not there. But throughout the Bible, there are these references that clearly help us to somehow understand that there is this mystery of God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And to start our reflection on that theme today, I would like to ask you a question to consider in your mind and your heart. When you pray, to whom do you pray? When you are forming that prayer on your lips or in your mind and heart, who is it that you choose to address? Because whom you choose to address in that prayer gives a great clue to an understanding of where we are right now in our spiritual journey. Let me give you some personal examples. A few years ago, I was up against the situation where I had done everything in my power and recruited the power of everybody else I knew to try and correct the situation. And the more I tried, the seemed like the worse it got. And in that powerlessness, I found myself praying to one who is beyond me. I found myself praying to God as Father, one who is all-powerful, one who could act when I am powerless. There are other times in my life where I think, as all of us do, I felt lonely. I felt rejected. I felt misunderstood. The old phrase, nobody loves me, everybody hates me, guess I'll go eat worms. And it's a time like that I find myself praying to God as one who is beside me, Jesus. The New Testament book of Hebrews tells us he is the one who has gone through every single thing that each of us go through. There's nothing I can experience, good or bad, that Jesus didn't go through himself. And so at a time like that, of feeling lonely or misunderstood or rejected, I find myself praying to one who is beside me, Jesus. Then there are other times when I feel this tug of God that I'm being called to do something that is difficult, that seems beyond me, that I'm not sure that I can handle. And so at that time, I find myself praying for the one who will be my encourager, who will give me courage to do that within me that I might feel like perhaps I couldn't do. And it's at a time like this I pray to the Holy Spirit, God within me. Now the point here is this. At different times in our journey, I think we will find ourselves praying to God in those three different forms. It becomes important for us to be able to keep in touch with that because it helps us to understand and get a handle on where I am right now on the journey. Those of you that have taken Episcopal 101, I ask this question every time we come to the chapter on the Trinity. Because as we map out our spiritual journey, this is a good sort of benchmark as to where we are right now. And you know, this existence of God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, this has been something that throughout the ages has been a point of contention within the church. You know, when Jesus left, he didn't leave a manual behind and give it to the apostles and say, here's the doctrine, here's the catechism, memorize it, and there's a test on Friday. He didn't do that. They didn't have, when he left, this sort of roadmap even as to who this Jesus was. They remember, well, he ate and dined with us, he laughed with us, he drank with us. He sure was a man, but he rose from the dead. Only God does that. He raised Lazarus from the dead. Only God can do that. He performed miracles like we've never seen. Only God can do that. So they have to deal with this God and man at the same time. And they struggled with it. And he said, I'm going to still be with you, God's still with you, through sending you the Holy Spirit. So they struggle with this idea of, well, if the Holy Spirit is God, how can Jesus be God, and how can his Father, who he said was God, be God at the same time? How do we reconcile all of that? And in the early church, they really struggled with it. It was the main bone of contention in the early church. And that's where most of the statements, as we call them, as the creeds, come to us. There's one particular creed I want you to look at this morning. And if you'll take out, there's some red prayer books that are in the pews. And if you open your prayer book up to page 864. And in that prayer book on 864, towards the bottom half of the page, you'll see something that says the Latin words, Quicunque vult. Commonly called the Creed of St. Athanasius. And it's in small print there, but I'll read it to you. Whosoever will be saved, before all things, it is necessary that he hold the Catholic faith, which faith, except everyone do keep whole and undefiled, without doubt he shall perish everlastingly. And the Catholic faith is this. So here comes the important part. That we worship one God in Trinity and Trinity in unity, neither confounding the persons nor dividing the substance. For there is one person of the Father, another of the Son, and another of the Holy Ghost. But the Godhead of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost is all one, the glory equal, the majesty co-eternal. Such as the Father is, such is the Son, and such is the Holy Ghost. The Father uncreate, the Son uncreate, and the Holy Ghost uncreate. The Father incomprehensible, the Son incomprehensible, and the Holy Ghost incomprehensible. The Father eternal, the Son eternal, and the Holy Ghost eternal. And yet there are not three eternals, but one eternal. And also there are not three incomprehensibles, nor three uncreated, but one uncreated, and one incomprehensible. So likewise the Father is almighty, the Son almighty, and the Holy Ghost almighty. And yet there are not three almighties, but one almighty. Any questions? Shall I go on? Let's see if the unplugged band can put that to a reggae beat. You're probably grateful that we don't recite that one when we recite the creed. But it comes at a time in the church where they were trying to come up with a clear understanding of who Jesus was, who God was as Father, who as the Holy Spirit was, and they sort of have to establish these boundaries. And Athanasius was on the side that said, we have to maintain that there is one God because we know that, but we know there is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit because Jesus told us that. They're trying to come up with a clear understanding of that. And there are others that struggle on the other side, led by the guy by the name of Arius, who sort of get off track. And so you see documents like this that end up being written to help us clearly state who they are and who they aren't. But I don't know about you, but when I read something like that, and if you want to read the rest of it, you go home and you do it, because it doesn't get any easier to read. But I don't get very excited about the Trinity when I read something like that. But I don't think that's what's exciting about the Trinity. It's important. But what's more important is that, number one, we can never explain the Trinity. It's a mystery. It's God. You can't explain God. But the gift of the Trinity is the fact that we're called to experience it in our lives. That the only way we can truly appreciate this God is by living and participating in that knowledge. Put it in simple terms. What the doctrine of the Trinity, the best news about the doctrine for us is that there is nowhere that God is not. There is no area of my life where God is not. There is no time. There is no place. There is no person. There is no experience where God is not there. And it becomes the opportunity for us every moment of our lives to experience God. You know, our forebears in our faith in the Anglican Communion, the Celts, who started as real polytheists. They had all these gods because God was everywhere, in the trees, in the ground, here, there, and everywhere. But they taught us a lot that's carried down to us today, that with this Trinity, we still understand. That's why even in the Celtic writings, you see praise to the Trinity from St. Patrick and all these other places, because they understood God is everywhere, every moment. And so it becomes the opportunity for us to celebrate that. And it's about that relationship. You know, one of the greatest existential writers of all time is the French writer by the name of Jean-Paul Sartre. He wrote something called No Exit. And he's remembered, unfortunately, because of one particular sentence that he says in his writings. He says, "Hell is other people." And it's the most misinterpreted line, I think, in all of English literature. Because we just throw that phrase out there when we don't like somebody. Hell is other people. But you know, if we truly look at what he's saying, if you look at the context, what he's talking about is, it's difficult to live in relationship with others. It's work. And so, there are times when some of us will say, I want nothing to do with anybody. I don't want to deal with anybody anymore. And when we choose to live that way, other people truly become hell for us. Because we are in a living hell. Because we are meant to be in relationship. And so, that is the true meaning that he's trying to bring out to us. Live in relationship or you will live in hell. Now. Relationship. You know, if you look at quantum physics and all the work that they have done there, they've been able to take atoms and divide them up into these subatomic particles that we never even knew existed. Fractals, they call them. But the amazing thing that they have discovered, that the way matter, the way God created everything, is that those smallest particles only exist in relationship to other subatomic particles. That they get their definition, they get their very existence from the relationship they have with another subatomic particle. And if they quit having that relationship for whatever happens at a scientific level, poof, they cease to exist. Now, if that's the way God made matter, that's the way God made us, it is this desire for us to be in relationship, not only with God, but also with each other. We have a wonderful reading from Romans chapter 5 that you can read in your bullet today. And Paul is so right on. He's writing to the Romans, trying to help them to live out their relationship with God and one another. And he has this great chain of words that he uses. And he starts with suffering. Now, it's not that God just wants us to suffer, but he recognizes that it's going to be work for us to live this out in our lives. And suffering produces endurance. And endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And the whole point is that is where we find God. That is the gift that we are given. And so, as I said in that opening prayer, we enter into the dance. We enter into this relationship. And when we look at life from that perspective, every single person we meet, every moment of our lives, is an incredible, exciting adventure. Because I know God's already there, it's just, now I have to figure out where God is. And I'm going to find Him in the most unique and incredible places. And we're not going to understand it all. Not in this life. You know, C.S. Lewis, great Christian writer. Somebody asked him once, what is the word that you are going to hear more than any other in heaven? And some people would say, oh, hallelujah, and praise you, Jesus. He says, the word that will be used most in heaven is, oh. Oh, you're here too. Oh, so that's what that means. Oh, so that's why I went through that experience. Now I understand. We begin that oh living right now. There is no place that God is not. He invites us to dance that dance of relationship. I heard a fable that I'd like to end with today. It's the story of a man who was very much in love with a woman. But the problem was, he was the prince soon to be king, and she was a member of the common folk. And she said, I cannot be with you because your love is beyond me. And so he took on a disguise. And he took on a disguise and he became a servant of the household in which she lived. And after a period of time, she figured out who he was and she said, your love is beyond me and now I know your love is beside me, but still I just cannot give myself to you. And so he made it his aim in the months and years ahead that he would do nothing but to help her to try to understand how special she was, how worthy she was to be loved. And finally the day came where she said, I am a better person when I am with you. Your love is within me. And knowing that his love was beyond her, his love was beside her, and his love was within her, they lived happily ever after. This is the Trinity's love for us. God beyond us, God beside us, God within us. May we enter into that dance and experience God's love for us and share that love one with another. Let's take that to our prayer.